Welcome to the Bridge of Stories podcast. Today, from a quite sunny Mostar, but very cold, joining us is Nina. Nina, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Hi, my name's Nina. I'm from Serbia, and I'm a second year in UWC in Mostar.
So, Nina, can you tell us a bit about what happened in your home country this weekend?
Well, this weekend, ecological protests were taking place in Belgrade and around cities in Serbia. So basically, people blocked roads and bridges, mostly in Belgrade, and also some highways in other cities around Belgrade. And that was due to the government implementing two new laws about expropriation and the referendum, which basically mean that they changed the census. So even if less than 50% of the population shows up to vote, the government can still push the decision that was voted on. And the expropriation law basically means that they can sell people's land without even asking them, and basically exile people from their houses.
So how does that work? What caused these them to think that this was a necessary change, that they needed to start selling people's land?
So the government has been working since the end of 2020. The government has been working with a mining company called Rio Tinto, and they want to start a lithium project in Western Serbia and Loznica. And they want to build a mine that's gonna, because Serbia has one of the biggest reserves of lithium in Europe. So they basically want to build a mine there and dig all of it out and make factories and make electronic cars and batteries. And that would cause a big ecological catastrophe. Oh, it would basically pollute a lot of rivers, pollute the air, which is already very polluted and has been a problem in Serbia for years. Belgrade has been one of the top polluted, like air polluted cities in years. And Rio Tinto would only add to that. And the government's excuse is that it would bring a lot of money to the economy, which is actually not true. And analysis was done by experts, and it is said that actually the economy would benefit more from the agriculture of the area instead of the company coming and taking over the land.
So this mining company, is it a foreign country? Is it from Serbia?
The mining company is from New Zealand, if I'm not wrong. And they are a very big company, very influential. They're offering to, they're saying that they're going to put $2.4 billion into this project, and that it's supposed to come out with a lot of money. But as I said, like, experts did analysis, and it shows that it's only going to do bad, as the company has a history of ruining the environment. They, in 2020, they blew up a 46,000-year-old cave. And also in Madagascar, they built mines that caused the level of uranium in the drinking water to go 42 to 50 times over World Health Organization's levels.
So quite a big multinational.
Yeah.
So to say, and do they have any history with Serbia, or is this their first project?
This is the first project that is starting in Serbia, yeah.
So do you have any idea what suddenly made them set their eye on this lithium storage or lithium supply?
I think it's because it wasn't really known that because lithium was only discovered, because it's not actually lithium, it's a mineral made out of lithium and something else, I'm not quite sure, but it's something that's very valuable for electric cars and batteries, and it was only discovered last year or something like that, and that's when people, like, the EU and Rio Tinto got, like, interested into digging it up.
So can you tell us a bit about how the protest happened exactly?
So the protest actually happened, there was two major NGOs that were very vocal about the problem. It's Kreni Promeni and Marš Sabrine. And a very famous actress who is part Australian, she flew from the US. She stopped all of her filming. She flew from the US to Serbia to be the leader of the protests and to stand up for the citizens, which was amazing, and I think that she actually helped a lot, like made a lot of people like come out and speak about it. And basically people blocked highways, people blocked roads, and it was after, because there's no media coverage in the country, so there was first the people tried, they made an ad that they wanted to run through national television, but then they got refused because the national television is owned by the government and as 90% of media in Serbia. So then they had to air the ad in front. They all went in front of the building of the national television and they aired it in front. It was like a premiere. And that was the first protest. And then the laws got pushed.
So when did that happen?
That was approximately like 10 days ago.
Oh, okay.
And then after the ad was aired, the laws were pushed and accepted. And then the laws were the last straw that made people really mad. And then people went out to the streets. And the government's response was quite bad because they sent police. And the police was very brutal with the protesters. And there was not a lot of working together and agreement, and it was more of the police pushing the people away.
Mm-hmm. So if you talk about how this law has already been published and already been approved by government, are there any more steps that are needed before it takes effect, or was that like the last step they needed in politics?
Technically they still have to put it up to vote. It's not like completely signed, so that it's like done. And that's why the protests are getting like the tension is building up and the protests are getting bigger, because people are starting to understand how actually big of a problem it is, because people can literally be kicked out of their houses legally and they can't say anything because the government just completely changed the law to how it helps them. So currently the ultimatum that the protesters set to the government, so the protests stop or the blocks of the roads, is that all of the people who were arrested during the protests were released, and there were quite a lot, and they were very brutally arrested, that the both of the laws get erased, like deleted, and that Rio Tinto is banned off of Serbia's land, and that the lithium project is done, which is quite a big ultimatum.
So what do you expect? Do you think that this is going to be, that their wishes are going to be granted?
No. I think that considering that there's no media coverage and it's very hard for people to actually get educated about it, and people in Serbia are quite passive for politics, because some people gave up, some people just blindly follow the leader. So it's really hard for people who are actually activists to get through them and tell them that their vote actually matters and that they can actually do something, because years and years of corruption just made people give up. So I genuinely do not think a solution is going to be found that easy, because I don't think the government is going to step back and try to solve the issue, because our president mocked the protests on live TV and that aired through the whole country. But I am hoping that that some kind of agreement is going to come.
So in terms of the political situation, is there any opposition party that is trying to counter these laws?
No, there is no opposition party that is battling the ruling party on the specific laws. But our president is accusing the opposition of supporting the protests, and because basically he said that the protests make no sense, and the Minister of Internal Affairs said that the protests have nothing to do with ecology, and that if necessary, the police is going to be sent, and if necessary, they're going to use violence. He said that on live TV, and the president also, with a smile on his face, said that he did sign the law, that he did sign for the law to pass, and no opposition is fighting on it. The only mention of opposition is when the president attacks them and tries to make them look bad in front of his followers, in the meaning of that they are supporting the violent, quote unquote, violent protesters.
Because you said that part of the ultimatum that you're setting is to release all the protesters that are still in prison as of now, because they are still being held?
Some of them, yes. Some of them got released. There was a man who was helping a woman to stand up, and it turned out that she was a police woman in, like, civilian clothes. And they arrested him because they thought that he attacked her. And then that was a whole story in the media, how he attacked a policewoman, and that was not true. And a bunch of lawyers all around Serbia gathered and gave free legal aid to people who were arrested so they can help bail them out from prison. But some of them are still in custody.
Well, that's tough, because what I've seen in the international media, because of course I read up a bit, and what I see is that it's covered in a lot of different ways. Like, they're talking about hundreds of people, thousands of people, or they're talking about protests against air pollution, or the law that you've just discussed. So why that ambiguity?
I mean, it is very chaotic, because it started with air pollution, then it came to Rio Tinto, then it came to the laws, then it also comes to the fact that we have zero media coverage, then it also comes to the fact that we are low-key and authoritarian states. So it's a lot of things. Basically, it is a protest because of the ecological issue, but it does cover a lot of things, like one of the facts being that there is no media coverage, and that Dutch media, Indian media covered more of it than our own Serbian media did. But yeah, it's quite complicated.
Yeah, because as of now, for the future, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think there's going to be another protest? Do you think there's going to be any changes?
I do think the protests are going to continue. I just saw earlier on Instagram that my city is standing up, and that people in my city are going to protest on Saturday. And from what I've heard from a few people I know at home, they've been calling it a civil war, because the government also has that's a known thing, unfortunately. They have a group of people they send to disrupt protests and make them violent. And then they accuse the protesters. We've seen that in BLM too. That's a very common thing. It's basically making people, like, it's made, like, the government is making Serbian people fight Serbian people. They are sparking up a civil war, and it's been like, there's been talk about it on social media. I don't think it's gonna develop into that big of a conflict, but there has been people beating up people, and people going into people with tractors, and
because I've heard of, like, football supporters or football hooligans joining the protest as well on the side of the government.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. They call them football hooligans, but in Serbian media, but the one free media we have, they call them just the government supporters, like their troops. But yeah, they have a thing of sending them into protests and making them disrupt protests and basically turning people against each other.
So, with a little bit of hope on the end, do you think there's going to be any change from the government side, or do you think it's...
I think that if enough damage is caused by the protests, in the meaning of, like, if the people are very persistent, and if they keep the blockage of the roads, and if they keep going out and speaking out, I do think that the government is going to have to respond and open their mind a little bit at one point. But there is a problem. There is a very common trend that happened in history, that when the protests start, the government sends in their people, the people disrupt the protests, and then the actual activists lose hope, because then in all of the media, they're seen as the bad people, and then the protests just stop, and then nothing happened, and it was all for nothing. So I am hopeful, but not a lot.
And so when you're going home in winter break, if there's going to be a protest while you're home, are you going to join them?
Yeah, of course I am. Oh. Hopefully they're going to continue, like, because that's in 2 weeks. So I'm hoping it's going to happen and I can join.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for telling your story. And we hope to see your Instagram pictures at the protest in 2 weeks. And we'll see you later. Okay. We'll see you next week on a new episode of The Bridges Stories, and after that our winter break starts as well, so we'll be gone for a little bit, but after 4 weeks, so towards the start of January, we'll be back with new episodes.